This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 27th of September, 2022, and you're on the clock with Erin Green and with Mr. Mark Palmer on this World News Tuesday. Morning, Mark. How you doing?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. I can't believe it's nearly end of September.
That's up May? Yeah. Listen, I typically want to start the show with a song. Today, I bring you the song of my people. I want to say good morning to all of the people who thought the right move this morning was to cut out of traffic and use the stadium. You know the place where we host road traffic, where you go to get your driver's license and get your car inspected? Like, y'all decided that the spot where you were going to avoid traffic by jumping out of the line and detouring around everybody was the road traffic department. There's an irony in that. It's almost like y'all love breaking the law. It's like we desire it. It appeals to us. It is seductive. It is the thing that we're drawn to. Getting ahead, breaking the law. I want to say good morning to y'all. What a bold move. What a bold move to do that.
Well, there's no repercussions, you see. You know, when I lived in Europe, it was like you'd always had an eye out because you knew you were going to get caught. And, you know, if you were got caught, it was not going to be pretty. You're going to have points on your license, the police station. And so you always had that, you always had that kind of weigh the risk and reward before you did anything. You know, but it doesn't appear to be any risk, really.
Absolutely. I wonder, how difficult would it be for the security staff at the stadium? Because they should always be on alert. Like, there's always, you're always licensing cars. There should always be people out, you know, outside of the stadium gates. I just wonder how y'all could be there and see that and then not think that maybe we should call the police to stop this because we don't want any accidents inside the stadium grounds. I want to say good morning to that BPL truck. I'm just going to pretend like it was an emergency. I'm just going to pretend like it was an emergency, BPL, why you had to duck all that traffic, because I know that BPL is currently in a state of emergency. Did you know that? You know who knows that? The residents who have not had power since Sunday. Not the set in Ragged Island, because what are they going to do? Swim to Nassau to beg y'all to come fix the power? They're not going to do that. But there are people in New Providence who have not had power since Sunday, since the first of the lightning storms, I think, over the weekend. And so I'm going to say to those people, when my power goes off, and sometimes other people's power will come on, but mine won't come on, I call control room. And the numbers for control room are 302-1580 and 302-1581. But what you could also do, which is what I would do, is I would call Mr. Alfred Sayers. Look at how I pick up the wrong Tribune. I would call Mr. Alfred Sayers. If you look at today's Guardian, there's an article on the bottom half of the fold that says BPL to soon address fuel charge issue. And when you read it, it says, asked whether reports that the cost is being raised are accurate, Sayers said, quote, I won't confirm at this point, but a statement will be made, I imagine he said, in a very short time. That's what politicians like to say. So what I'm going to suggest we do is that we call the minister responsible for BPL. Remember, you can't call the board. I don't know about this new board, but the old board, remember the old board told us that they're not prepared to address any of the questions put to the board before them? So I wouldn't go to that old board, but maybe there's a different dispensation in the new board.
Mm.
All that being said, don't bother calling them. Don't bother call the minister and find out why the most basic and necessary service is dysfunctional. Why BPL can't keep the power on? Why BPL can't put up notices? Like, they can't figure out how to notify customers that they're having extended issues, and they recommend that their customers just shut the main switch off. I don't know why they have not manifested an effective communication strategy with their customers, understanding the, there's a fancy word for it, but my dictionary is electronic, so I couldn't use it, you know, with the power off. How urgent this important electricity is to all of the things that we want to do.
Well, I have to say, you know, we have issues with cable as well, but I got a text from Rev this morning saying, you know, there's an outage in the area and we're working our hardest to do it. And I think that, you know, that's the communication you're talking about, that they're, you know, that they at least acknowledge, because in the past you were saying, do they really know that we're without power or without... Mm-hmm. But clearly they must know, because something switches or the switch trips in there.
But see, I live in a neighborhood where we're not on the monitoring system. It appears. That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
So the power could go off in our small space, but BPL would be unaware. And similarly, the power could be restored to a larger area, and we're not restored, and BPL is not aware that we are
because
not.
Because they're little sub areas that may not be functioning. Yeah.
On the monitoring system. And so, it would be effective. And timelines, estimations. See, we've dragged people into a future that we can barely navigate. Right? We've dragged people into a future that they don't understand, and that we, the ones who are responsible, can barely navigate. And we feel no obligation to those who we're dragging with us, because the mechanism doesn't work. You know, I'm being polite. The Ponzi scheme doesn't work, right? Mm. Unless you have collateral damage. You got to drag some people with you. You need some people to fill the slots in the machine. But if they're not prepared.
Well, this is the thing. You know, when you look at Singapore, I think I mentioned this before, they're very, they call it, Disneyland without the death penalty, right? And because you're not allowed to chew gum and things like that. But they have this incredible national development plan, which is updated yearly, and they set targets for everything, waste collection, recycling. They go from, we're going to go from 95% recycling plastics to 96%. That's how we're going to do it. And they held I mean, that's not, we're a small country. You know, our problems are solvable. It's not like London, 13 million people, where it's, you know, it requires a huge amount of money. Yeah. But to solve our issues, I believe they are solvable if there is an intent and to be held accountable as well for a target. Yeah. You know, the private sector or business sets itself as targets, right, and then tries to achieve them. We should really do the same in the public sector and publish that and then be held accountable. And then everyone is focusing on that, what that particular goal is for that particular ministry. But at the moment, we don't have, as far as I'm aware, any goals or any strategy that are articulated.
Right.
And I think that's one of the problems, you know, if you don't write it down and set that target.
And then focus on it and understand the commitment of resources, the commitment of time and energy, personal resources and state resources.
We don't have enough project managers, and I think that is something. I think the IDB did a report, and you do need project managers to run these sort of things, you know, and to.
I imagine, Mark, we have lots of project managers here. I'm gonna disagree with you on that. We have lots of projects, but we have this weird culture, right? Like, I'm a project manager. Like, my job is to manage the project.
A qualified project manager.
No, really qualified. Yeah. And then they say, but look here, look at how the people, they don't want to behave. So why am I wasting my energy trying to wrangle them?
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Okay.
But then where we fall off on the professionalism is we don't quit. We don't write up a summary indicating clearly where the problem lies. Mm-hmm. And submit it, and then, you know, submit the integrity with it that says, listen, I can't accept this money from you because I cannot achieve the goals that we have set out. And then say to them clearly.
Because of X, Y, Z.
Right. You don't have the political will.
Mm-hmm.
to yeah. give me what I need to get it done, right? Or you refuse to commit the resources necessary to get it done, but say clearly what, or their conflicting obligations or interests that are undermining the project, or ignoring the underlying ethos of the project. Say something. Just stop collecting paychecks knowing that you're not achieving anything that has been set forth before you.
The point is, if you don't have the target, it's all talk anyways, right? If
right,
you don't actually say, the minister goes, right, let's have a look what we're going to do with potholes. We're going to have a 3-day maximum response for fixing potholes. And then you held yourself accountable. And then it means, okay, we're going to need to have 3 teams instead of 2. We're going to have this method that people can communicate. So you actually think about solving the problem, because the problems are solvable. I am convinced they are solvable. If you want to solve any problem, we could do it. We have enough smart Bahamians to figure it out.
We have enough smart Bahamians. Mm-hmm. We have enough trainable Bahamians, even if they are not trained or certified or proficient in that area right now, what we do know is that Bahamians learn quickly, they learn easily, and we could do that. If we don't have the money, we know the people who have the money, right? Like, and I'm with you. I think that virtually every problem we can solve on our own. I think we have problems like migration, that require...
Well, we had Luby on. He gave a couple of very straightforward things that you could do to, you know, hinder that migration, right?
Right. So at a regional level, at a global level, you know, we will require support. I think the environment, we can solve that problem on our own, right? And people say, well, how are you going to enforce the cruise ships and the issue of dumping? I'm going to tell you all how easy it is to tell a cruise ship, you cannot come into Bahamian waters. Let me tell you all how easy it is.
You fit a camera to the back end, like a drone camera or something, to the cruise ship, and then you'll be able to see if there's a track of
effluent. But why don't we have
effluent?
Why don't we have a 24/7 drone patrol of the waters tracking cruise ships, right? I mean, it's doable.
There's good money in that. I think they fined them $30 million last time. For
expelling. It is, there is, right? So virtually every problem we could solve ourselves, right? And I think that's important for us to acknowledge. Maybe we have to prove it to some people.
Because, you know, we did have a national development plan. You know, one of the things that the Christie administration should be applauded for, they put together this forward-looking plan. They had the best people, Virgil Rowe, just amazing people putting this together, had multi-stakeholder input, and then it was like shelved, you know, and it had some really good stuff for accountability, and the University of the Bahamas would be the monitoring and evaluation arm of that national development plan. What happened to it? You see that?
Well, it politics. Seems,
but it's such a shame because, okay, maybe it's a thing because they did it, we're not interested in it.
That old political culture.
Yeah. But that is such low-hanging fruit. You know, just tackle that. We already have a plan. Okay, now it's must 8 years out of date.
Roughly, yeah.
Roughly 8, but the problems are, I'm sure, are still there.
Absolutely, and the plan would need revising, right? But it's a start, and it gives us benchmarks. Right. It gives us targets. And
maybe they looked at it and said, "Oh my God, there's just so much to do. That's it.
Yeah, but
let's just carry on."
Maybe what
regardless.
We do is we encourage the Policy Institute at the university to model out, right? Amongst various schools in the university to model out the national development plan on a small scale.
And maybe one of the solutions, taking it away from government and putting it into an independent body, or like you say, a university, to be the stakeholder, you know, the key stakeholder for driving it.
Yeah.
Because for reason one thing or the other, the government in power may not want, you know, may have different electoral aims, right?
Yeah.
And so...
But national development,
it's
how
huge.
Could you say that, like, that's not your aim? Mark, I have some text, but I want to, when we're done with the text, I want to continue that conversation, because I'm sitting here in Nassau, and I've actually had people sort of demand, right, that I, Aaron Green, the advocate, demand that I protest their issues on their behalf, right? And they see it as my obligation. Otherwise, I'm not a real advocate, right? And so I want to talk about the local...
You mean by proxy? They don't want to do, but they want you to do it.
Right. Okay. It's like we're demanding freedom. we're demanding that somebody give us our freedom, right? And I want to juxtapose sort of this local demand for protest, right? Not local protest, but the local demand for protest with this situation in Iran, what they're calling the Masha Amini protests, right? Yeah. And I want to juxtapose them, and especially at that point where you say, listen, I'm of the firm belief that we have everything that we need to solve our problems. But let me get to the text line first. First text says, do we know why they don't have power? Now, I imagine that it's related to the lightning storms that we experienced Saturday, Sunday, right? And over the weekend and, the weather yesterday. I think that's why the power went out. Why the power is not back on yet is a totally different answer.
Yeah, it's partly that, but also some of the equipment is old now. You know, when that was put into the ground maybe 20, 30 years ago, it's going to fail eventually, and it's just bad luck if it fails in your area. But then you have to dig up that road, bring that new equipment in, splice it all in, and then put, you know, unless you have... Remember when we were complaining about the roads dug up and everything? Yeah. But one thing Hubert did, he put all that water. Remember all those big water pipes that went in to renew it? Because that was a major... You had to do it then. If you didn't do it then, you were never going to do it. And we would have bad water forever. And so it's almost like taking a section of of our country and saying, right, we're going to do this. But this is the National Development Plan, right? We're going to work on Adelaide, right? We're going to repair the... we're going to review all the electrical installation in Adelaide, and we're going to upgrade them. And then next, month, we're going to go X, Y, Z, right?
Yeah. Another text, Ms. Green, interesting. I had to take my daughter to take a test at road traffic this morning. And while heading out, I was hit by a car ducking traffic. Thank you, Texter. I didn't know we were going to make it that real, right? Yeah, what this Texter said. Yeah. They took their daughter to take a test at road traffic this morning, and while heading out, the driver was hit by a car ducking traffic.
Wow.
I mean, to be honest, when you are in the traffic and you see the looks on people's faces, right? And you say... Why are you deliberately and intentionally risking destroying not just somebody's day, but their month and potentially their life? You don't understand what happens when somebody's sort of taken out of the rat race because you've destroyed their means of transportation, right? And then on top of it, y'all don't like to have insurance on your car. You don't like to have your driver's license renewed. So if you had insurance, it would be valid. You don't like to give the people your real name. You like to lie. In my instance, you like to go duck into a building with the police and pay them to change the details of the accident, right? You don't like to go to the hospital and say, oh, Lord, I almost kill you. You don't even want to do that. And I'm saying this specifically to the young man with locks in the green car. The car is obviously not worthy to be on the road. So you know they ain't got no insurance. Right? It's just doing foolishness. All right. Thank you, callers. I see you. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. We really need to train traffic officials that will deal with only traffic matters, issuing tickets, et cetera, have them deployed in various communities. You know, we have a division with officers that only deal with traffic matters, despite the fact that every traffic officer is responsible for traffic. Aaron, since we're talking about world news, I think we need morality police like that of Iran to keep people in check. Dear Texter, I would co-sign legislation for this initiative any day. Also, I think the U.S. and the Bahamas needs to stay out of Iran's business concerning the death of the woman in the arrest. Women in Iran arrested by morality police. If women don't want to dress modestly, they should leave the country and not protest. Okay, dear Texter. We're coming right back to that. That's what I want to talk about today. Another text has said 3 days without power in 2022 is not inexcusable. you're saying is inexcusable, right? Yes, lightning storm, but and I know you may not have these answers. What is the extent? Is it 2 transformers, 5 transformers? Do they need parts or expertise that they don't have? Is it equipment that they're waiting for? Do they need a vendor who refuses to work without payment in advance? All technical issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not necessarily putting it on the workers, but I tell mm-hmm. you what, if the workers had a guild, an association that produced a regular journal, they could share information with us there. That's all I'm saying. Okay, thank you, Mark. Caller, you're on the line.
Yes, sir. Good morning to all.
Good morning, my friend. How you do? Listen, first of all,
it's wet.
Hold on, it's wet outside, so yeah, we can't start no fire. It just ain't a spark. Okay.
Hey, you know, I have a great concern, you know, about civil beam and civil Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they not giving a voice, or they not using their platform, right, to speak to the issues of the poor. Not the average Bahamian, but the poor Bahamian, mm-hmm. right? And like you spoke about this, our national development plan, and mm-hmm. it doesn't address the needs of the poor Bahamians,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it seems like they all are conservative, you know? Hello?
Right here.
Yeah, like seems like the Bahamas is a conservative country. There's no representation for progressive policies.
I got you. It's the Bahamas is a capitalist country. That's what it is. Not to be conservative.
All right. Conservative country. They're not even censored.
No, see, but you can say far right conservative. That would suggest that we are focused on a moral fiber, right? It's like it would suggest that when we see spaces where young girls are popping up pregnant, even though they're underage, that we devise a plan to deal with it, right? Because we think that's conservative. What we are is capitalists. We capitalize, right, on things, people, issues. And it's not just poor people. It's students as well. They don't have no capital, so they are of no interest. You see? They have no interest to people. But
the caller is right about saying that parties are moving to the right. You know, if you went back 50 years to the UK example, the Labour Party was the party of the people, you know, and it went against power. Now the Labour Party is...
Before I'm cut off, right?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
You know, I think the world news that is most important for us today is that the election of a far right leader in Italy. You know, so this thing about the girl and the lady in the Middle East and Iran, man, we have discrimination issues right here. Like I said, our poor people are discriminated, so we need to address this thing, man.
Listen, thank you, caller.
Thank you, man.
And that's why I wanted to juxtapose the two issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're gone now, caller, but we just had a text that somebody said, look here, maybe we should bring the morality piece to the police to the Bahamas, you know. Maybe we should bring them here. Maybe we need that. And I think they may have even gone as far as saying, no, I think they were cool. They didn't say just for women. Or they did say if women don't want to dress modestly, they should leave the country and not protest. They should leave their own country. And these are the same people. Now, it may not be you. I don't know what your position is on migration specifically. But this is being said in the same country where people will say that, oh, my goodness, you were born a Haitian, eh? And Haiti is in devastation, eh? Well, that's your lot in life. God designed for you to be a Haitian and go through this. That's the space that we're in, you know? But they must leave if they don't like how they're being treated in their own country. Mm-hmm. And Mark, you know, I want to say to those Bahamians that have that attitude, right? Like, oh, you were born in Sudan and there's conflict in Sudan, but that's your lot in life? Listen, you was born to be at that stop sign, baby. You were born to not have the right of way. And that's your lot in life. And just sit in that corner until the road is clear and wait for God to give you the signal of a clear road that you could come out. And until then, you just eat your feelings and wait for the traffic to pass. Same thing with the red light. No turning red, right on red for you. God designed for you to wait there until you're lighter and green.
Mm-hmm. The text is almost implying that you have no rights, you know, that or that it's only the majority view that is acceptable if you're in the part of the minority. But then, you know, if you look at the during segregation, the minority is now the majority. So things do change. You know, what was considered legal then back in the 60s is completely illegal from what we, you know, from our cultural norms today.
Yeah.
And that was a minority, right?
Yes.
And, you know, people would have said to them, well, if you don't like the country, you can leave. And that, I think that's a really spurious argument.
Absolutely. Here's another text. Call, I come in to give me a second. This gentleman, I'm sure, have good intentions, but please convey to him, and I think they mean the caller, please convey to him that there are incentives for the poor to get them out of poverty. BTVI, COB Public School. Okay, texter, first of all, let's stop right there. Those are not incentives to get people out of poverty. That is a basic obligation
education
of the state for everybody. We acknowledge that education is an equalizer. But these things only work if you have policies that focus not just on equality, like anybody could go to this school, but equity. What does this category of people need to be able to access this education? Sure, you got UB free. Can students from the Family Islands afford to move to New Providence to be able to take advantage of this free education?
Or BTVI.
Right. Are buses running so that children who have parents that don't have transportation can get to these institutions? Are the resources necessary to participate in classes available? Are they accessible through scholarship, through payment programs? Are there people who are donating these resources for those who cannot afford it? Those are incentives to drive people out of poverty. Schools are a basic obligation. Y'all need to stop letting the political class convince y'all of any manner of thing. It's not our obligation to educate you. Well, then it's not our obligation to recognize you as a politician. Put the paycheck down, go home. Simple. I did get a little excited there, Mark. Let's go to the caller.
I hear you.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, everybody. Excited. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Yeah. Before you get into, I'm looking forward to FaceTime caller tomorrow. I love FaceTime caller. But I want to talk about, you're supposed to talk about the Ad League.
Yes.
I turned on your show dead early.
Yes, you're supposed to talk about the Ad League.
What happened to that?
Okay.
But that, my friend, before you can probably answer that in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You talk about DPL. I'd like to know, the new chairman, lay out a plan on how they're going to modernize DPL to the 21st century. I remember Mr. Bradley Roberts, who was chairman, he had a good plan to set up a control unit, which called Live Map.
Okay.
When an audit, there was no, when an audit got everything on that board, everything would be in green. You could do that through the internet.
Okay.
And if it go in red, let's say Jerome Avenue is red, Jerome Avenue is done.
Yeah.
You don't need the call. They can send somebody there to deal with that.
Okay.
We need it. And that was Bradley Roberts' plan.
Okay.
So we have a young chairman and who now should be savvy in technology. I'd like to know, I'd like to have the letter report to Mr. Alphonsus, presenting in Parliament how he's going to transform. Yeah, remember that the old executive did some transformable work in BPL.
They did
a lot of work and upgrading.
Okay.
So I'd like to know what this do. And you and I want to close with that. You mentioned road traffic. This road traffic is coming into the 21st century of digital service. Because what you're complaining about, a lot of your problems could be solved by proper red lights. I see these old-time red lights that exist. We just need a transform road traffic.
I got you. Absolutely.
Everyone's talking about transforming.
Yeah.
But we need, you need to start.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's all I wanted to say. And then I hope you talk about Adley.
I got you. I can see if I could pull that time in. I got to read this text.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day. Yeah, looking forward to Wednesday.
Absolutely. Me too.
First time callers.
Yes, sir.
They demand that.
Absolutely.
But they don't call.
Absolutely.
Have a good day.
Thank you. And don't change your voice. Don't pretend like you know, don't try and change your voice and try fool my producer. Anyway, a text has asked me to read the entirety of the text that I referenced just now. It says, the entirety is this. This gentleman, I'm sure, has good intentions, but please convey to him that there are incentives for the poor to get them out of poverty. BTVI, COB, public school. We must stop this woe is me. We must change our mentality and our mindset. We must utilize what's out there and agitate for the government to continue and improve on programs to better oneself. Okay, I mean, that's a whole lot of positive. There's nothing I could say really that's negative about it. But what I will say is this, is that don't make the assumption.
What you were saying is just that you need to have the right incentives in place to have...
Right.
To allow people
right
from those
incentives.
Communities to go into it, just offering a program on its own is not enough,
right?
Because it's access, you know, what you were talking about. So it's thinking it through at all the levels, that you have people going into the schools, identifying kids early on that need vocational training. You put them into
Absolutely.
A track, and then by the time they graduate or before, they're in a track. It just requires some thinking, brainstorming, and creating those linkages.
Yeah, some empathy.
So you catch them.
Right? Empathy, mindfulness, spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. Because for many people, the mentality and the mindset is not the issue. And we can look at our Haitian, Bahamian of Haitian descent population, mm-hmm. where we have tons of grade A students. Mm-hmm. We have produced students who could go anywhere to any mm-hmm. university in the world and excel, but they can't. They couldn't even go to UB. They couldn't even go to COB, mm-hmm. right? And because politicians and the political class refuse to prioritize the issue, no matter what the decision is you make, make the decision, be certain with it, and provide pathways for people who are not accommodated by your decision.
So that they aren't dead ends, you know, because the problem is that's a dead, what you just mentioned was a dead end.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what do you do after that, right?
Right, there's practically nothing.
All that potential is lost.
Yeah, and so I wanted to draw us to the Mahsa Amini protests, because I believe, like you, that we have not reached the level of we have not accumulated the amount of issues, right? Like, we are not at the place that Iran is at, where...
It's a different situation, because Iran's a theocracy,
yeah.
you know, and it has very strict rules.
Yeah.
Since the Ayatollahs came in, and it would appear to a Western eye, they seem to be very repressive towards women. That's not to say some women voluntarily wear the hijab, but there are a lot of women who feel that they are forced into it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see that this is actually coming out now in protest, because mm-hmm. I thought that wasn't really possible in Iran. So
right.
That's kind of very surprising.
And I wondered if the openness of the critique of the crown, the British crown, and the death of the Queen Elizabeth II, whether that emboldened Iranians and other people around the world to engage in protests, you know, like, it is possible.
Well, it's interesting. There's a Malcolm Gladwell wrote this book called The Tipping Point, right? And it's very interesting. It talks, how does an issue get to the point where it gets enough traction to become, you know, like civil rights. How did it get from kind of a marginal thing, and then it got enough volume, and then it tipped?
Yeah.
And I think you're seeing the frustration, the build-up frustration. You're getting to that tipping point now.
Hitting that critical mass. Yeah.
And, you know, we have to be careful here in the Bahamas, too, because there are issues that are going to be hitting mm-hmm. critical mass.
If we don't pay attention to them and handle them properly. And even if it is an issue like the migration, Haitian migration mm-hmm. issue, that is so large that we cannot solve it ourselves, we can still manage its impact on our country and our communities mm-hmm. by engaging the issue in, I want to say strategic, because I don't want to say the proper ways, right? Which would suggest that only my way is the proper way.
I tell you what would be interesting, you know, because recently, you know, in the rape in marriage, they had that symposium mm-hmm. by the, I think it's the Department of Gender
and Family Affairs.
And Family Affairs. And it was brilliant, because I listened to it. And I was listening to the church leaders, you know, had they, everyone had a voice, and I learned something from that. Imagine if immigration had something like that, a stakeholder forum where everyone could come in and you could have, you know, the activist voice, you could have the average Bahamian, you could have every spectrum. I think we would learn a lot.
Yeah.
And I think what we would learn would surprise us that some of these things can be solvable.
And you're absolutely right. And the way that we format the event, the space that we construct, right? If done critical aware, critical thinking, spatial awareness, that we can elicit more, I'm going to say efficient or effective, but more from our constituents, from our stakeholders. And I think just by having multiple conversations from different perspectives about the marital rape issue has exposed, right, things that we didn't think exist. For instance, the vast majority of leaders speaking on the, religious leaders speaking on the issue now acknowledge, they acknowledge clearly, listen, this behavior in the right in a marriage is intolerable
and unacceptable
and sort of defines the marriage itself as over, right? And what has happened is more and more men have come out and said, listen, I'm opposed to criminalizing marital rape, but I do not think that this behavior is acceptable. Mm-hmm. And that's shifted the conversation.
The Overton
entirely.
Window has shifted. And I think that's so important to have that debate.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping to hear it in other sectors of the economy as well.
Absolutely.
I think because we have a lot to offer, you know. Bahamians have a lot to offer. Very smart, and people calling in have very good points.
Insightful as well.
Yeah.
That's the music. We got to go to a break. You're tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Greens. Keep the dial on 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Mark Palmer. Okay, I got a couple of texts. First text, she, that is Masha Amini, was a Kurdish-born Iranian, which is equivalent to Haitian-born Bahamian. Another similarity, which I wanted to juxtapose these two situations. And then another text says, just this morning, I saw a well-dressed GHS student at Millennium Garden waiting to get transportation. We do have terrible problem with public transportation and flooding to access Carlton E. Francis Primary School. Boats needed there. In fact, I don't know if you could see it, Mark. I had written down Carlton E. Francis somewhere on my paper. I saw the notice made by parents, right? And so we do have issues that require attention. That obviously requires attention. And something we a caller alluded to earlier and said, poor people have no representation. Neither students. Neither students. Does it require sort of violent protest to derive solutions? No. These are issues that we can solve on our own. We the people can compel our government to solve these issues. See, like something I don't get, Bahamians love Just Road. The best part of going to work is just rude, right? Preferably shortly after getting to work. If you work at Ministry of Works, why isn't your job to just road all day, collecting data, identifying drains that need clearing, trees that need trimming, potholes that need filling?
It's not that difficult because, you know, I remember walking through Atlantis late one night and there was a guy walking around with his WhatsApp, just skid marks, boom, putting it onto his group. Right. And then the team would come in after and clean it up. So if you woke up the next morning, they would be gone.
Right.
So we have the technology, right?
We have the technology. We got the smarts. People want to work, but you got to lead them.
Mm.
That's a big part of our problem here. We don't train anybody. And we have the model. Do you know when you join the civil service, you get general orders? And that's a big booklet with all the rules, every single rule in it. When you go to a business, you're supposed to get a booklet that teaches you how to do everything in that business, except maybe open the safe. I don't put that in the manual, right? But so in case, you know, Mary is the only one who's do that job and we don't know how to do it, so you're going to have to come back next week because she's on vacation until next week. Doesn't have to happen because somebody can be appointed to step in, fulfill that function because they were required to learn it when they pick up their general orders. Now, mind you, like I said, there are issues that we need to protest. Imagine that a swing set could fall and kill a child. And the last media report I heard, the mother indicated that this church had not even reached out to her yet. Right? But we could solve that.
Hmm.
We could compel the members of that faith to demand that the administration focus on the death of an innocent child.
I mean, the challenge is indifference, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of indifference. There's a lack of empathy. And how do you deal with indifference?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is the bit, you know, it has to get so bad before people are willing to get out on the street. And then we know that you know, protest isn't always effective, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you, you know, I was in Russell Square yesterday. They've got a nice little space right opposite the House of Parliament, you know, House of Assembly where you could protest, but you don't really see it that often.
Yeah, you don't. That's because, you know, we have more dollars and cents. We've been solving problems with money this whole time.
Mm.
I think now that the money is running out, you're going to see more and more protests. Mark, we got some interesting texts have just come in.
Yeah.
This one says, Aaron, studies suggest that when societies monitor small crimes like traffic, the greater crimes are reduced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I was studying that.
It's called
that
the broken window theory.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yep.
You sound like you would be an advocate for law and order, and this would be like the morality police. Well, that first starts with how one dressed, because sex and clothing, I didn't realize the text was going here, you know. Sex and clothing are correlated, as studies suggest, so it's not wrong when asked when someone is raped, what were they wearing? Dear texter, I didn't realize you were going this far wacky. No. That's not morality police. Monitoring small crimes like traffic with the effect that it reduces greater crimes, that's called take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves.
Yeah, you can't say wearing a bathing suit or whatever is a crime.
Right.
That's not a crime. And so you can't equate the two.
Right, but not just that. Y'all know that people rape nuns. They rape. You see, this protest in Iran about the improper wearing of hijabs, and really a part of what some of that protest, what people are protesting, and say, listen, you all know that women in Iran get raped with the hijab on. They could have two hijabs on. They could have four hijabs on, right?
Or they could be beaten, and you would never see the physical
abuse
evidence, yeah.
Right? So no, it is wrong to ask somebody who's a victim of rape, well, what were you wearing? You know what I'm saying? It's inappropriate. It's wrong. Your line of reasoning is faulty. And I hope that you never experience that yourself, texter. Another text. Your guest asks, how do things reach Oh, your guest asks, how do things reach that tipping point? It is reached by powerful outside influences using local people to push agendas to cause confusion. I didn't think this one was going to go in that direction either.
But it does happen.
Right, it does happen, absolutely. And it's a question that arose in the discussion about the Iranian protests, right? Mm-hmm. Because most of the media outlets I'm reading are Western.
It's the easiest defense.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a public uprising, to blame it on external forces that are destabilizing. And that's what exactly, if you look at the words coming out of the Iranian ministry, it's the same thing. You know, foreign actors, you know, destabilizing the country. Very easy thing to say, but they don't provide any evidence.
Well, here's an experiment, Texter. Mm. Let's try this. And to the wider public, here's an experiment. How do we reach a tipping point? Whenever I see somebody committing an egregious, like a moving violation, I think we don't have them in the Bahamas, but in the States, they have them, right? Where you run in a red light, a stop sign, you drive up on the sidewalk, right? Or you are on your phone obstructing traffic. I blow my horn. Because I realized that that's how we moderate behavior, by giving an indicator that the behavior is incorrect. And I want to do an experiment. I'm asking all of us, when you see an infraction, a major infraction, blow your horn. Don't beep, beep, because people will just excuse that as high.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we talk. You can blare it, right? And let's see if we can hit a tipping point. Let's see if we could get the majority of people to acknowledge this behavior as wrong, and if that in and of itself will begin to shift the culture and cause people to moderate their own behavior. And that's how you do it, you know. See, it's like a vacuum. If you are not working to build your country, somebody else is working to build your country into their own, right? If you're not doing anything, trust me, somebody is going to fill that gap and do something. So before you...
And it's usually somebody with money or power.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Producer, I want to tell you go to that phone line, but it's 10:59. I know I can't tell you to do that. Let us be good today. I'm sorry. Callers, we are all out of time, and I just got a couple of minutes to close out the show. I see Pumpkin Eater wanted me to talk about the proposed Adelaide project. What I will tell you all is this, is that the Town Planning Committee makes its decision on October 4th. And so what I'm going to encourage us all to do is to write Keenan Johnson, Chairman of the Town Planning Committee, and ask them, A, where can I find the information relevant to the decision-making process? And B, tell them what you think the decision should be. I ain't telling you what to say. Tell them what you think the decision should be, and engage the Town Planning Committee on this decision. The historic impact, the environmental impact, the economic impact, and the social impact demand it entirely, right? We're going to talk more about that. I'm still stuck on how y'all changed the name of Liberated African Way to Palm Beach Drive. That's like, see, y'all didn't make a big fanfare about it. It's almost like, you know why. Anyway, we can talk about that at a later date. As we go, though, Mark, I created a list, just a brief search of other protests happening right now around the world. And in Iran, another young lady was shot and killed after joining the protest.
An activist, and she was shot.
Yeah, it's a 20-year-old. Then there are water shortages, protests over water shortages on the longest South African highway. They've shut it down.
You have a lot of protests in Europe on energy prices. People are having a tenfold increase in their energy prices. We're not seeing it through the media.
Right.
But Italy, big protests. Germany starting to have big protests because winter coming.
Yeah. And gas costs money, plenty money. The prices almost tripled.
You can't even buy a stove and wood no more. Everyone's bought all the stoves.
Listen, they're Britain. See why we have this affinity with Britain. Remember when the people them stopped selling kerosene stove and kerosene fridge, even though they knew that BPL couldn't provide consistent and reliable power to everybody in the country? Remember that? It's kind of like what Britain is happening to Britain
and
right
Germany
now in Europe. In the Congo, protests, climate change protests in Nairobi, 450 global climate change protests happening in conjunction. Angola's protesting the vote. And even in Russia, people and minorities are protesting because they feel that they're being targeted in the draft.
Yeah, against Putin, and they protest for Putin. Right. As well,
I got a text here that says the only tipping point honking the horn will reach is pure fights. Well, text, I know you, I read your text before. You have a fighting spirit, and I ain't gonna honk my, I gotta honk my horn at you. I can be honest. I'll honk my horn at you. You want people to blow their horns to get cursed out. What happened to your dash cam? Blow your horn at people doing foolishness in the road. People, like God's people, get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself. And you should do the same. Thank you, Mark Palmer, for joining me today. It's a wonderful conversation. See you next Tuesday.
Yep.
Absolutely. Y'all stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.